The baby boomers led waves of dramatic culture changes. Their voices raise awareness of consumerism, retirement programs, higher education, healthcare, and civil rights transformations. Now, the baby boomers have reached an age where it is our turn to give back to them for their voices, their struggles, and their footprint on the society we benefit from today. Boomer Living Podcast is dedicated to the support and the enhancement of senior living and the baby boomers' needs and demands. We welcome conversations between caregivers, providers, gerontologists, geriatricians, neurologists, technologists, developers, and operators with one objective: to serve our baby boomers. By bringing together these experts and the baby boomers' families, we can share our knowledge that will educate and inspire others on how to care for the baby boomers. We're a social platform that focuses on the respect and care of this aging population that gave their youth and their wisdom to the society we benefit from today. Today, my guest is Greg Gorgoni. He is a graduate and a former chef instructor of Johnson & Wales University, with over 35 years of experience in food service and hospitality management. With a successful track record in the restaurant and hospitality industry, Greg has brought his unique insights and leadership style to the healthcare industry to deliver a more patient-centered, culinary-driven experience while still keeping careful focus on financial objectives and resident and patient satisfaction scores. Greg has developed and implemented operational policy and procedures for all types and sizes of operations. In addition to his operational experience, Greg has managed concept development projects, kitchen design, and grand openings for hotels, restaurants, and healthcare organizations. He's been a speaker and presenter at the regional and national conferences for Association of Food and Nutrition Professionals and also to the Association of Healthcare Food Service. His goal is to provide hospitality-driven food service environments that improve the lives of patients, residents, and caregivers. Thank you so much, Greg, for taking the time to talk with me today on Boomer Living Podcast. Can you please start by sharing a little bit about yourself, where you're from, your work experience, and what are you working on right now?
I appreciate that. So again, my name is Greg Gorgoni. I live in Massachusetts. I grew up outside of Boston, but I've lived down south for about 25 years until recently, and I moved back to Western Massachusetts. I got into hospitality and food service back in the early 80s, and I've been with it ever since. It became my career. I started out in the hotel world and hotel management, and then I evolved into hospitality development projects. And then in 2007, I went into the healthcare market. And so I worked for a large contractor, and I was a food service director at a large hospital in Charlotte, North Carolina. And I had the opportunity there to not only have an acute care hospital, but I also had a nursing home across the street that I was responsible for. So our kitchen, we took care of all the services. I had the RD that worked for me at the nursing home. I also had a behavioral health center with 25 beds there. So in a small campus, I ended up with a microcosm of a lot of healthcare challenges and things like that. And so I was able to learn quite a bit, and I had a great leadership team there. So it was a nice transition from hospitality into the healthcare world. After a few years, I became a consultant. I knew in my hospitality background that senior living communities really needed some help in their hospitality delivery for food service to their residents. I've had been fortunate to travel the country working with a lot of operators. I've been to Hawaii, Alaska, all around the lower 48 doing projects, whether it be menu planning or on-the-job training or designing kitchens and dining rooms, whatever process improvements we come across during our assessments. And then recently, in the last couple of years, we came to realize that those efforts, as good as they are and wanting to help, you realize it falls short when you look at the overall situation in the industry. Number one, there's over 30,000 senior living communities in the United States. My guess is that probably at least 80% of them have some sort of challenge when it comes to food service delivery. And so to think that you're going to go on site to all these places is a little unrealistic, and budgets don't necessarily, you know, follow along with having someone like myself on site to do training. So we hatched this idea of creating an online academy. And so the result now is the Pineapple Academy. And so what we do is we start, we look at our audience or our student, let's put it that way. We look at our student as someone who's just got hired for the first time to work in a food service environment in senior living. So if you look at it from that perspective to start, you realize that there's a lot of groundwork and a lot of information that's needed by anybody that works in the space for food service. And if you start there, then you can build. And then our curriculum is getting more and more advanced as time goes on. But the whole idea is to start with onboarding. And so that's where we start with our story with our students.
Great. I'll back up just a little bit. So let's start by understanding the importance of a well-designed food and service environment for senior living community residents. And why do you think senior living communities need to pay special attention on how their food service systems are designed?
That's a great question. As in any aspect of life or any time in your life, when you think about and reflect on the experiences and joyful moments in your life, I think you'll find that many of them involve food service. In my case, it was going to my grandma's house every Sunday with all my cousins and aunts and uncles and extended family. We're talking probably 30, 40, 50 people on some occasions. And everybody's enjoying great food and camaraderie and enjoyment with each other. And so that was part of our culture. And so if you stop and think around, you go around the country and you talk to people like I have, it's not an unusual story. Whether you're Italian or Jewish or Asian or this or that, it really doesn't matter. It's like everybody, we grow up with this idea that that communal breaking of bread, as it were, is something that connects us. And that's what, you know, we're trying to do is make sure these relationships stay in place, give people joy in their lives through food and that interaction. And so when you look at a lot of senior communities, there's like missing elements of that. And I look at it not from a critical point, but it's just understanding that a lot of the people that work in these spaces might not have worked in restaurants or hotels. They might not have gone to culinary school or hotel school or restaurant management. So you begin to understand that there's gaps in their education and their understanding what to do. And so I don't fault anybody for that. It's just a reality of what you find in the industry. And so what we're trying to do with the Academy is bring that education, that understanding, so people can also deliver that type of experience to their residents. But the interesting thing about it is that our approach is also more focused on the staff member than we are on the resident. Because at the end of the day, you're never going to improve resident satisfaction without increasing employee engagement and employee satisfaction. It's a fallacy to think that you're going to put a policy procedure to every single thing and expect and think that everyone's going to follow that exactly and you're going to get the desired outcome. It starts with attitude and willingness. And so if you don't have that to begin with, then you're not going to get to where you want to go. It's been my personal experience working side by side with so many, you know, people over the years that the majority of staff members want to do a good job and they're looking for that leadership. They're looking for some guidance and some help to give them the tools they need. And so that's the piece that we are bringing into the space so that people can develop their talents and have a better understanding the importance of food service and elevate the way they're viewed in the industry. Because if you take a look at, if you take an honest appraisal of what goes on, a lot of owners and managers, they look at what PPD, the per patient day cost of the food, and they don't really look beyond that. It's just a one line item expense, food service. So it's very important that we elevate how we look at food service in senior living communities.
Absolutely. The relationship the chef has with food will transfer to the enjoyment that they provide to the residents. So it's a relationship of all. Can you share an example of a success story you've had involving changing operational processes in senior living communities' food service environment?
Sure. So I was involved in this project about 4 years ago, and this was the roots actually where the Pineapple Academy came from. And a group of us were working on a project in Missouri and we were putting a new addition on a senior living community. They didn't have a formal dining room per se. They used the same room for activities and a bunch of different things. So it was very convoluted on how they're doing the food service. And so we had this opportunity to design this extension on this building, design the kitchen from top to bottom and the dining room. And so what we did is we were able to design a kitchen that was open to the dining room. And so it was neat. So suddenly you had this connectivity between the back of the house and the front of the house. And suddenly you had residents sitting in this beautiful dining room and they could see the cooks and they could see the action and they knew their food was being prepared to order. They had a beautiful menu to pick off. Of course, there was a chef special of the day, which is your part of your cycle menu, but they also had an a la carte choice. And we also went to open dining. And so in a very short period of time, you saw that resident satisfaction went up. And we also found out from nursing and the RDs that people's weights leveled off. They weren't having the swing in weight gain or weight loss. And people's general health got better and their mental health got better. And same thing for the employees. Nursing was happier because the residents are happier and they're more engaged. So I saw in a very short time when we shut down the old operation and reopened the new one and just saw the results, suddenly the place became alive and the energy level when you walk in the building was notably different. Mm-hmm. And so it proved a point to myself that this is the correct target. This is something I can have an impact on and I can help with communities to bring that culinary culture into that to create that hospitality experience that the residents deserve. And sure. So that's kind of what sparked a lot of this.
So what you just described reminds me of my parents' home where all of us are sitting around the island.
Right.
And there's conversation. You can see who's cooking, what's being cooked, and you can smell the aroma. And it's not where you're just serving food at the table and people come and eat it at their leisure, which sometimes can happen. Sure. As your kids get older. And to be honest, that's a part that I did not like. It's not that I don't like to cook. It's the fact that there has to be a relationship between myself and the food. And then seeing your kids or your residents enjoying the food. And I think that's everything. That speaks to whether or not they're savoring the food, whether they like it or dislike it.
Right.
An open kitchen, open environment where residents can see the chef, the server, creates that connection and that bond. So that I love
it.
That
really
idea.
Does. And some of the projects I've been on too, is we actually have to train the chef and the lead cooks and whatnot on how to interact for the very first time with patients and residents, because it wasn't part of their policy before that they came out in the dining room or went up to the patient or the resident room to check on their food service. And so it was funny to see some chefs would be like, oh, I'm not going out there, because they're very comfortable in the back of the house. But mm-hmm. as soon as they come in the front of the house, they get a little nervous. But mm-hmm. but once they get through that barrier and suddenly there's that connection from the kitchen to the resident or the patient, suddenly you really see that every step that you make in the kitchen has a result. And that result is that person eating the food and seeing what their enjoyment level is. And I've never met a chef whose goal wasn't to make people happy. You don't become a chef because it's just something to do, like building a house. You do it because you get a kick out of making people happy, and it brings you personal fulfillment and joy. And so it's just pushing people a little bit to interact, and suddenly the relationship is very different. And so now I'm cooking for an individual, not a bunch of people that I don't know or just names on a piece of paper. Now I see the face. When I see that ticket, I see the face and I know I am cooking for Mr. Jones right now. I am making his breakfast right now. And so when you pass Mr. Jones later on in the hallway in the public areas, you're going to get a reaction. And let's hope it's a positive one. That's what we're looking for.
Sure, sure. And you know, don't you love it? Let's say you go into a place and you just sit down. People know right away what you want.
Yeah.
Your usual, that kind of relationship. And I think what I'm hearing from you over and over is the relationship, not only chef to food, but also chef to resident, which is kind of a full circle. So that's great. I wholeheartedly believe that as a parent, also as a daughter who just enjoy that sitting around the island and seeing food prepared. It's really, it's a bonding, you know?
It really is.
So, okay.
Conversation and connection.
Absolutely. So you mentioned that you are transforming senior living communities into a more hospitality-based food service model. So can you explain hospitality-based means for those of us who aren't so involved in the food service industry?
Absolutely. So hospitality is the interaction between people. It's the anticipation of people's needs. And I learned that a long time ago, and I saw examples of it growing up. As you walk into your grandma's house, the first thing she wants to know, are you hungry? That was like anybody goes to their grandma's house, they know that's totally true anywhere you go in the country. Is, are you hungry? Can I get you something to eat? Mm-hmm. So I grew up like that. So when someone walks into my establishment where I'm working, it's like, hey, can I get you a cup of coffee? Can I get you something? Are you hungry? That should be the first thing in your mind when you, particularly if you're representing food service, when you interact with somebody, is how can you make that person comfortable and how are you meeting their needs? And are you anticipating what they want? And to your point a minute ago, it's like a resident sits down and the server comes up and they know I like orange juice in the morning. You go, hey, Greg, good morning. Here's your orange juice. I'm like, perfect. They anticipate it. That's hospitality. Now, if I'm standing there waving my arm at the table and I'm like, hey, can I get my orange juice? And I wait 10 minutes for my orange juice. That's not exactly the type of experience you want. The same thing can be said in any atmosphere, even going to a store. So what happens to you when you walk into a store? Are you greeted? Or you get that top of the head syndrome where someone's, you know, looking down at their cell phone or the computer or whatever, and they don't acknowledge you coming in. You know, that's not a very friendly feeling. You want to be greeted, whether you want help or not. My job as the person representing that business is to welcome you into the space and let you know that I see you and you're important to me and I'm here if you need me and anticipate your needs.
Absolutely. I think customer service, what you said, that you feel like your presence is there and it's being acknowledged. And if you need help, they're right there. Not so much like pursuing you to ongoing kind of harassment or anything, but there's a difference, right? It's a fine balance that I notice you and I want to acknowledge your presence and I'm here if you need help. That's wonderful. So what special considerations do you give when designing a food service model for senior living communities?
The first thing we do is called programming and assessments. We really try to understand, number one, the number of meals we have to serve a day, what the goals are of ownership. The way I look at a project, there's three legs that a project stands on. One is the financial viability. Is it something that the owners, from a return on investment point of view, will they realize that? Number two, is it something that the staff can engage with and have control over and do a good job with? And the third, obviously, is this going to make the residents or the patients happy? And so when I look at these opportunities, I'm thinking about all three of those aspects when we're talking about a project. We know, as an example, just based on the tens of thousands of restaurants and communities that have been designed around the world, you know, there's so many feet of storage we need based on the total volume of meals we're going to serve, dry storage, refrigeration. We know how much firepower we need under the hood for heating and cooking. So we start with general footprints and flows, and we look at that whole environment. But then we start dialing into the actual menus and recipes that are going to be produced. So if you're, let's say you're a kosher environment, then if you're going to be a kosher environment, then you need to separate your dairy from your meats and all that. So your kitchen design is very different and then your production line is very different. But if you're just doing a lot of heat and serve, then you need a smaller kitchen. If you're doing everything from scratch and you're feeding a lot of people, you have to size things properly. And so when we look at things, we really want to work with the clinical team to understand their processes. As an example, nursing, believe it or not, controls a lot what happens in food service, not because they're necessarily in the kitchen or doing anything. It's more about their schedule, like with the residents, like what are they doing throughout the day? What's the day in the life of a resident? And what do we need to do accommodate so that the resident gets the clinical care they're supposed to be getting during the day, as well as the nourishment and the food they're getting. So we have to look at all these things because of all the different schedules that are there. So sometimes it gets a little tricky. And then, of course, there's different protocols. If you have like a diabetic and they need to have their insulin, that's a coordinated activity with nursing, as an example. Registered dietitian, speech therapist. If someone's having difficulty, the speech therapist needs to let us know that we have to modify that diet to make it easier for that person to swallow. Maybe they have a swallowing, you know, issue with either liquids or solids, and we have to modify that. So there's a lot of coordination in the building to understand what we have to do in terms of servicing the residents.
It sounds like there's nutrition diet that will vary between, let's say, independent living, assisted living, dementia care, skilled nursing. Right. So you have to discern the distinction and get approvals. Is that right? You have to go through an approval
process. That's exactly right. So like in the case of, say, independent living, I've been on some design projects where you really approach it like you are a resort at a hotel. Where's my coffee shop? Where's my little grab and go? Where's the little convenience store with my toiletries? And maybe I have a half a dozen eggs in there or whatever. And where's my fine dining? Where's my bar? And you lay out the campus based on what people's eating habits are and whatnot. But then you start getting into memory care, as an example. So when you get into memory care, now you have a very confined space, and often it's a locked unit, and it has very strict parameters, and it has very strict schedules. And now we're talking about, how do we want to serve those memory care residents? Are we going to do several small meals throughout the day, or are we going to do a formal, we're going to sit down for breakfast, lunch, and dinner, and bring everybody in and have to bring in other people for feeding assistants and family members and whatnot? What does that look like? Because that dictates how we lay things out. It dictates what kind of equipment we need. Then you get into skilled nursing, and then it's a very different, it's an additional question to ask, like, how much can people eat on their own versus assistance? We have to understand that some people can't open containers. They can't do certain things. So we have to do that for them. There's just things we have to be aware of, that as you're doing at the different acuity levels of your residents, there's things that start coming into play that we have to understand, and we have to design and plan around so that the resident gets the respect and the dignity that they deserve, and they're happy with the food.
Absolutely. So would you say the food service system at a senior living community should be more like hospital, hotel, or restaurant, or a combination?
And I was just going to say, can we have all of the above? Because if you take a look at the regulations of CMS, it's like the resident should be able to eat when they want to eat, as an example, which is a restaurant style or hotel style. They might want to eat in their room. So there it goes, hotel style room service. But then there's also aspects, you have people that have to have certain diets based on what's going on with them medically. And so that makes us more like a hospital at times. Mm-hmm. And you get into people who aren't even actually eating food, they're getting intravenous. And at that point, obviously food service isn't even involved at that point. But the point is, it really depends. Every community is different. 50 beds versus 100 beds is very different. 50 beds versus 500 beds is extremely different. And so you have to really understand the size of your population and the type of population you're in. And then after that, you need to start taking a look at where you are regionally. What do people like to eat? That's always the big question. Is if I'm in Alabama, people expect a certain thing. If I'm in Wisconsin, they expect a certain thing. And then if you're in Massachusetts, you expect something different. You really have to understand the culture of the region you're in too. So it can be very challenging when you're doing a project, because you have to balance all these things.
Sure. Especially when you just said all of the above.
Right.
Yeah.
We're all about creating a hospitality environment. Regardless of what's going on, we have to make sure that we're treating the residents correctly. We're giving them the correct amount of dignity they deserve. We're making sure that they're happy with their food and they're satisfied, because if they don't eat it, then they're not getting the nutrition they need. And now we're going to end up with other problems.
Absolutely. Yeah. So what is the role of a trained food service staff when it comes to providing residents with excellent experience?
So I would say several things. One, you get to come to work with a great attitude, ready to be there and be there. What I mean by that is, you're not showing up to work, but you're trying to manage your dog and taking it to the vet, or your kids or your parents. You need to be there and be in the space and be engaged with what's going on with your coworkers and the residents. That's always very important. You need to have an attitude that there's always something to learn. I'm 59 years old. I learn something about food service just about every single day of my life. You have to be a lifelong learner in this business. There's too many things going on. There's too many interesting things about food service to ignore. So you've got to make yourself a learner and get engaged with what's happening. I think the other aspect is that you have to understand that you have to work clean. You're responsible not only for your own personal health, but also the health of those around you, whether it be coworkers or others. That takes a certain type of person to be aware that it's not just about them. We, like right now with the pandemic, we wear a mask, not necessarily because it feels comfortable, we like it, or we're scared, but we're wearing a mask so that in case I have something, I can't spread it to others. There has to be a service attitude in your mind. If you're not like that, then I suggest you look, you know, other places to work. And there's plenty of, you know, opportunities for that, for people that don't necessarily think like that. That's a hard thing to teach. But if you have those, that ability to have empathy and the willingness to be there and do a good job, then we can teach you to do anything. As I often say, there's no state secrets in food service. You can know and learn anything you want in food service. There's no secrets. So what do you want to know about? And so that's what we're trying to do with the Academy. We're trying to get other people into our space also so that the education just keeps coming into this one easy point where you can get it, whether how to use a piece of equipment, how to prepare a certain type of recipe, how to clean, how to serve, whatever it is you want to know, you need to have that curiosity.
Sure. Yeah. So let me ask you about the Pineapple Academy. So what steps do you go through to ensure a high level of skill among your staff?
There are several ways to engage with the Pineapple Academy. One is which is you can get a subscription. We're on a subscription model. We're like Netflix. It's like you pay a fee and we keep adding content and it's just, you get to see a lot of interesting things. So as an individual, you can get on the Academy and learn, go at your own pace, and you have all that information there. We also have a function where if we're working with a team, a company, where you would need on-site proctors. So we have a proctor course to teach people like in a supervisory or management type position to become a proctor. Because so if you have a new staff member, he's learning how to use a knife as an example. We want to make sure as the Pineapple Academy that someone on site is witnessing that you know how to use a knife now. And so that takes a proctor. And you might even as a proctor need to step up and even do a demo and show them a little bit. So we're actually also building mentorship into our program by doing this proctor program so that people at the unit level actually start becoming mentors and teachers. And that's often a tough thing for managers or chefs to do because they're so busy. But now the student doesn't need them until they need to get checked out on it. So they could be doing, they can study the information, they can practice it on their own before they actually need to go see somebody. So we're trying to help the managers become better, you know, teachers and mentors. From there, it's just a question of practice. That really, at the end of the day, it's just like any other technical skill. It's like the more you do it, the easier it becomes.
Mm-hmm. So as you are designing food service environments for senior living communities, do you keep, let's say, the way that you want to age in your own life in mind? So like, do you think, hey, this is a place I can see myself spending my later years enjoying the food and the community?
Sure. I'll tell you, the short answer is yes. But it struck me many years ago when I first got into this. I went from hotels and restaurants, which is very transactional. You can come in, have one meal and leave and never come back. But when you're in a hospital or a senior living community, you realize you have a very captured audience. They don't have the luxury of cooking for themselves anymore. They don't have the luxury of having their own refrigerator and having all their little guilty pleasures in a cabinet or cooking their favorite foods. So you realize you become an extension of them. You become an extension of what their needs are. And you have to understand that you're in their home. So now pretend that you're everybody's personal chef, because that's really what you're becoming when you step into that environment. And so you have to keep that viewpoint. And so I say that because that kind of answers the first question. Yes, I'm trying to design spaces that I would feel good about, that my mom and dad would be there, or I ended up there, or my wife. Or so you want to have that when you walk away from project, when you're done, you want to feel like this is going to be a great space or a great experience for the residents. And if I happen to go there, I'd be happy with it also.
That's great. It's almost like forward thinking, or thinking, hey, I'm doing this work for the older adults, but I'm ready to move in anytime. So that's great. So now, how do the macro trends like changing demographics and food requirements in our country's aging population, how does that impact what you do at the Pineapple Academy?
That's interesting you say that, because I've been a member of the Association for Nutrition and Food Service Professionals for about 12 years now. I'm a certified dietary manager. And one of the things that you recognize is that with the aging population, demographics are shifting. Not only are there going to be more senior communities that need to get service, whether it be daycare or 55 and older communities, however you want to define it, there's going to be a lot more of us 65 and older over the next 20 years. And so you see growth in the business, but you also see a decrease in the amount of employees available to service that market. So we're at a really interesting point in our country right now, where you've got restaurants that are closing right now due to COVID. And then you've got a shortage of staff in the senior living community. And so what we've been trying to do with the Pineapple Academy is we actually launched a free course called Introduction to Senior Living Food Service. And so we actually were giving it away, particularly to restaurant people, to show them, hey, there's another place you can put your passion in food service, mm-hmm. and that's senior living. And I'm not trying to necessarily steal from hotels and restaurants, but at the same time, the difference between the hotels and restaurants and senior living is that in senior living, there's a lot of interaction with the resident, and it takes a lot of physical work to take care of them and do the job. Restaurants and hotels are leaning more towards technology. Right now, I'm seeing a lot of stuff come through, you know, automated processes, an electronic salad bar that you go up and you hit a program, it spits out. I don't think that's going to happen anytime soon in a senior living community, because I mean, you can't expect a resident to walk up if they have a sight problem or a touch problem or whatever, to be ordering on a touchpad their automated salad to be made for them. Over here in the restaurant world or hotel world, it's very applicable. Mm-hmm. So you just have to realize that what we're doing in senior living is we are in someone's home, and you have to have that viewpoint that we're cooking like we're cooking for our family. But at the same time, we can't do slipshod things, and we can't just let things slide. We have policy procedures, regulations that we have to follow to keep the residents safe.
That's a wonderful answer to a very complex question.
Yes.
That's great. So do you have any other thoughts that you would like to share with the listeners?
Food service in the senior living community is very vitally important. And I think we all can play a role in making it better. I think owners owe it to their residents and to themselves to spend more time in food service to see what's happening. It's like, how often are you going in and enjoying meals with your residents? I would highly encourage doing something like that, because then you can see for yourself what your residents are experiencing in your own community. So it's a smart and a good thing to do. And then realize that there is a lot of emphasis on the clinical side of our business, which is understandable, but we also need to spend an equal amount of time training and working with our support staff, whether it be in the laundry, housekeeping, food service, building maintenance, lawn maintenance. They all contribute to that hospitality environment. The physical spaces is very important to building a hospitality environment. And so I've been on many, different planning teams for hotels and resorts. And I can tell you there is as much emphasis that goes into building the space as there is training the staff to do the work. Because without the proper infrastructure and the physical, the way we design the spaces and put them there, it makes it hard. I'll give you a good example. It's like a kitchen that is too far away from the dining room. Nobody thought about, oh, why is or a storeroom that's in the basement, or we put all this out in the back and it's hard to get to. We have to understand that food service is a very important aspect of the design, and it starts right at the very beginning.
That's wonderful. That is so true. You have opened up my mind. I understand what it comes when you sit down and eat. Because yes. I think as an individual, when we sit down and eat, it's very compartmentalized. It's within our own scope. But when you are a resident in a senior living, that scope is much wider. And from what it sounds like is you can't partition the different trades, the different niche, chef, laundry, or server, et cetera. It's really a relationship between the staff, and particularly the chef with the food and the chef with the resident. So. That's wonderful. I thank you so much for shedding some light on this topic. And this is good education, because I'm not sure if folks have enough understanding what goes in offering proper nutrition that has to be approved. Healthcare, like you said, regulations, and the design, the openness of what you described. Because as soon as you said that, it brings back memories for me. Growing up, I love that open island. And even now, but the difference is life has changed.
That's right.
Not in not a very good way, because I feel sometimes when I'm cooking, again, it's not because I don't like to cook. It's because when I'm cooking, older kids, they have different schedules. They're so active. They're out and about. And then they eat at different time. So I lose that connection to see them enjoy the food. It becomes mechanical.
That's right.
Thank you. Thank you so much.
Thanks so much.
Take care.
Thank you so much for joining us this week on Boomer Living Podcast. Make sure to visit our website, boomerliving.tv, where you can subscribe to the show in iTunes, Google Play, Stitcher, and other platforms. This way, you'll never miss a show. And while you're at it, if you found value in this show, we would really appreciate a rating in iTunes, or simply tell a friend about the show. That would help us tremendously. Be sure to tune in weekly for our next episode. And remember, growing old is the purest and the most positive experience of human existence.